It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this program, the City Desk podcast, at 10:30 in the morning on Thursday, February 8th, here at Biloxi City Hall. And this is going to be the Mardi Gras edition of the City Desk, and joining us to talk about a lot of the Mardi Gras preparations and what people need to know is the chief investigator of the Biloxi Police Department, as well as the public information officer, and that would be Major Christopher DeBack.
Well, I'm pleased to be here.
How long have you been the chief investigator now?
About a year, I guess, give or take or so. And
you've been with the police department how long?
I'm coming up on 20 years.
20 years. Look at that, William. Not a gray hair in sight.
No. Refreshed, smiling. He came jumping into the room. Hey, you know, I know what you mean.
And Chris had the, I don't know if it would be privilege or the burden this week of pretty much running things over there while Chief Miller and Deputy or Assistant Chief Michael Wills were out of town. And seems like it was uneventful.
Yeah, we had a good couple of days. Didn't order anything major that we weren't allowed to, but everything went well.
No explosions, panic, people screaming. Gotcha.
Mayor Holloway used to say, okay, I'll be right back. Don't touch anything till I get back. Chris, has it been for this year just the typical preparations as we're heading into? Everybody focuses on Neptune, which is going to be on Saturday at 5 or 5:30. You'll correct me in a minute. And then we have Gulf Coast Carnival on Tuesday. But there's actually a second liners parade that's going to take place at noon on Saturday, prefacing the Neptune parade. So tell me, 20 years, you've worked your share of Mardi Gras. How have preparations changed and from your standpoint of law enforcement?
Well, as far as preparations, it's pretty much been the same. There's been a few route changes over the years. There's been a few, size of crowd changes, we'll say. The biggest thing, of course, is what type of weather we're going to have for the year. But going back to the parades, you're correct, 12 o'clock, we have the second liners. That's a little bit smaller parade. And then on at 5:45 is when the Neptune parade is supposed to roll on Saturday. And then, of course, 1 o'clock will be the GCCA parade on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But we're all set to go. We're looking for a great crowd, a great family atmosphere.
Now, you say great crowd. I know you're not a meteorologist, but the police chief, John Miller, was telling me it's looking like the weather may be a bit dicey this weekend.
You're right. Saturday, I think the last time I looked, it was like a 90% chance of rain. So we'll see how it goes. And then Tuesday, I think we'll be all right.
And what people need to know is if they're going to a parade, what I always like to tell them, too, is do not bring your pet snake or your pet ferret or your dog or any other pet, because it just seems like that's a bad place to introduce a pet.
Absolutely. Well, by city ordinance, you're not allowed to have pets on the parade route or any event route. The only animals allowed on an event route is if they're actually in the parade itself.
And the police department, it seems like on one hand you want everybody to have a good time, and it seems like y'all are a tolerant lot that day, but by the same, as of course you are every day, but by the same token, you want to make sure people have a safe time.
Sure, our main focus is for everybody to have that family quality time and to be safe about it and just enjoy themselves.
The biggest things that we want to remind people, don't block traffic. Whenever you're parking your car, make sure that you're parking in a legal spot. Don't park on a sidewalk where you're blocking it for pedestrians. Don't park on the median on Highway 90. And you're going to see a lot of law enforcement officers in our city that do not necessarily have a Biloxi police uniform on.
Certainly. We always have outside agencies come in to help us kind of supplement our manpower, and they follow the same rules we do and try to make sure everybody has a good, safe time.
So do we have to listen to the ones, like, say, from D'Iberville?
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. If they're down here working the event, yeah, please listen to them.
And when you come across an intersection where a police officer is directing traffic, please follow the directions of that police officer. The other thing is, if you come upon a police barricade, please do not cross that barricade. Please do not move that barricade. What's your biggest headache every year at Mardi Gras? Your biggest challenge?
Probably the barricades. We put them there for certain reasons. A lot of times it's because that's the route of the parade. And we try to accommodate, you know, if you live down that street, we try to get you through there. But if the barricades are up, you know, please arrive early. Make sure you get there before the barricades are up. But if they're up, please abide by them.
Now, Neptune has a different parade route. Explain why Neptune has a different parade route. And this was something the police department worked on for quite a while years ago to devise this different route.
Well, one of the reasons is certainly getting the streets clear and opened up again as soon as we can. The Neptune route certainly helps at the end. There's a parking lot that helps kind of clear them out or get the floats off the route, mm-hmm. as well as it's right there by the on-ramp to 110. Mm-hmm. Getting mm-hmm. the streets open and getting people out of here is one of the biggest hassles at the end of a parade.
And the Neptune route is the one that will begin. They pretty much both follow the same route whenever they pass by here at City Hall, and then they go around the MLK loop. The big difference is that the Gulf Coast Carnival parade route, when it gets on MLK, it keeps going south on Raynor all the way down to Highway 90?
Right. It goes 90, goes over to Porter, up to Howard, and then over to Kivett Street, where it ends up, they break up on Esters. The Neptune route actually goes, instead of coming down to 90, it goes up Kivett Street and then ends up there at Bayview and Kivett.
Yeah, the big change is going to be whenever they're on MLK. One keeps going south down the 90. The other one, Neptune, turns on the Howard there, then goes Kivett and turns north. The big challenge that police have every year is that Gulf Coast Carnival route essentially makes a loop in our downtown area. So the parade pretty much begins and ends on itself.
Any interface with the railroad?
How do you handle that?
Well, for any event that crosses the railroad tracks, we let CSX know ahead of time, and they either stop the trains or they slow the trains depending on how the event's scheduled and everything else. But they work with us great every event.
The other big thing, too, is when you're parking your car, make sure you do not park too closely to the CSX railway. The problem there is, in years past, we've actually had to stop trains because a car was parked too close to the railway. What's been your most out of the usual Mardi Gras experience?
Well, as far as getting people out and parking, you know, depending on where they park, they need to make sure they come back and get their car after the parade. If they leave it there, it may be in the way of traffic. You know, it's all about getting people out quickly and opening up the roads, making sure everybody had a safe and great time.
And we want to let people know that there is a traffic plan for Mardi Gras. There's a traffic plan for Neptune. Discuss a little bit about the traffic plan for Neptune.
You talking about as far as, as far as Highway 90 goes, we're going to one lane it, or two lane it, I should say, east and west. When that parade turns, well, both GCCA and Neptune, when they turn on Highway 90, they'll be in the northbound lanes. And we're asking spectators to stay on the sidewalks on the northbound side, not come on the in the median of Highway 90, because we'll have traffic east and west on the south side. To keep people safe, we need them on that north side. And float riders have been told to try to throw all their beads and stuff to the north side.
And the traffic impact on Highway 90 for Neptune is minimal because they're only on Highway 90 essentially from Main Street over to Lemieux, and then once they turn off there for Neptune, that's it. That parade ends at the north end of Kivett. Not the same story on Gulf Coast Carnival, is it?
No, it goes all the way from Raynor all the way to Porter Avenue, so there'll be a little bit of a delay there and for traffic. But again, you know, if pedestrians can stay on that north side, that would help us out a lot.
And the other thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a traffic close. There's a couple of traffic closures. Give people an idea of the times for Gulf Coast Carnival on what routes will be closed.
Well, prior to the parade, which is at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, we're going to start two-lane in traffic about 11 o'clock so we can get prepared and we can get the pedestrians in there, the right spots and everything else. The 110 will be closed southbound traffic at Division around that same time on Tuesday. The 90 will actually be reduced to two lanes around 5 o'clock on Saturday night.
The biggest thing to tell people is they just need to arrive early.
Absolutely. Any kind of event like this, you want to arrive early so you get your best spots and get the most beads.
Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, I have yet to hear a story from our guest about the weirdest Mardi Gras experience.
Well,
You're safe. Trust me, you're safe.
The best Mardi Gras experiences actually is seeing the families out there and seeing the fun that they have and seeing the little kids run around and enjoying themselves. I know it's not weird, but that's what it's all about. It's about having a great time.
Okay, you bring up a very good point. Parents who are listening to this right now, what advice do they need to give their children as they're getting ready to venture out to these Mardi Gras parades?
Well, certainly, kids need to be stay with their parents. You know, it's a large crowd. There's a lot of people out there. You don't want to get them lost. If for some reason the child runs off, notify the officer standing close to you as soon as possible. We need a clothing description, and we'll locate your child. If you have an older child, just keep in mind there is no underage drinking allowed, and let's have a great time.
Talk to your children. Let them know that if they do become separated, they need to go to the nearest police officer. Parents, when you're walking out the door at home to go to the parades, make sure to take a look at what your child is wearing so that you can tell the officer exactly what they're wearing. We're talking about from the shoes and the color all the way up. Hey, take a picture of them, right, Cecilia?
That's right. Everybody has cell phones now with cameras on it. Take a picture. You have it right on there. I think it would help the parent remember the clothing, and then, of course, be able to show the officer what the child looks like.
We talked about pets. Another big thing for major crowd events, glass bottles.
Yeah, just, you know, as we talk about having a great time, you know, certainly there'll be some beverages consumed. We just ask that you keep those in a paper cup or a plastic cup or something. You know, just no glass on the route at all.
And that goes for soft drinks as well as alcohol. No glass bottles on the parade route. Any closing thoughts on anything that people need to be aware of for Mardi Gras?
Just going back to the arrive early so you get the best spot that you want for you and your family. Monitor each other and have a great time.
And be patient. When the parade's over with, please be patient. Now, if you have any questions for our guest, not only about Mardi Gras or other big events, but about any law enforcement type questions, something that you wanted to know, his cell number, no, his email address is cdeback@biloxi.ms.us. And if he doesn't know the answer, he'll be able to find it for you from someone in the police department. Have you been to the FBI National Academy yet?
I went to Southern Police Institute. It's a better school, better academic. So, but I completed that 2 years ago, as a matter of fact.
Now, what all did you learn in there?
It's the same type of school. It's about administrative and leading the police department.
And a big thing that I understand they do in the FBI National Academy is there's a lot of classroom instruction, constitutional law issues.
Yeah, certainly. You learn about anything from leading the police department, legal issues, liability, search and seizure, all that kind of stuff. It's all, you know, college credits. Matter of fact, I finished a third of my master's from there and then actually finished my master's last year from it.
Yeah, but is there a yellow brick road?
There's not, but there's more exciting things.
Explain
like the
to people what explain to people what the yellow brick road is and then tell them about what you were just telling me.
Well, the yellow brick road is it's a running challenge, if you will, through the FBI Academy. I don't know the exact length of it, but once you complete it, you get this yellow brick. In SPI, or Southern Police Institute, we don't have a yellow brick road because, you know, we have more important things to worry about.
But you mentioned something about Kentucky Derby.
Oh, if you go during the springtime, you get to go to the Kentucky Derby for free, and that was probably one of the best events I've ever watched.
Excellent. We want to thank you again for taking the time to come over here and talk about Mardi Gras and law enforcement in general. And you are one of the credits to the police department, and you're always there when someone has a question. Anything else?
Nope. Just again, have a great, safe time, and let's enjoy our time on Tuesday and Saturday.
It's going to be a great, great three parades. But Cecilia, Mardi Gras, actually, we're going to see an event coming up Friday night.
We definitely will. The Parks and Recreation Department will have their annual Special Needs Mardi Gras Ball and Dance open to all ages, children and adults with physical and mental disabilities. It'll be, as Vince said, Friday, February the 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Donnell Snyder Community Center on Pass Road. This event is free. Just encourage participants to wear Mardi Gras attire. There will be a king, queen, grand duke, and duchess will be crowned. Just to recap, just to make sure, the Second Liners Mardi Gras Parade is Saturday, February the 10th at 12 p.m. The Neptune Mardi Gras Parade is Saturday, February the 10th at 5:30 p.m. And the Gulf Coast Carnival Association Parade is Tuesday, February the 13th at 1 p.m. And as always, all that information is listed on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
The Second Liners Parade is going to be on Saturday at what time?
At noon.
Okay. Thought I heard 12 p.m. Did you hear? Of course, you speak in military terms anyway, 1300 and 1400. Now, you have another event coming up that I want to make sure we would be remiss if we did not mention this, and the public can take part in this, and there'll be some great food, and it's for a good cause.
I actually got two events I just thought about, but the first event is actually tomorrow, Friday, on the 9th. We're doing red beans and rice starting at 11 at the Biloxi Fire Department Museum across from the police department on Howard. It's to raise money for retired officer Mitch Roberts, who had recently had a stroke. We're asking everybody to come out. It's $7 a plate. The other event is actually for Special Olympics and the Torch Run. We're doing a truck pull and a polar plunge on the 24th of February in front of Margaritaville. It's $25 a person to register. We're doing it as a pledge, so you know, you go out, ask your family, friends, your lunch money, whatever, to raise additional money. But if you'd like to take part in one of those events, it's an 8-person pool team, or you know, individual plunge, of course. But you can go on to SpecialOlympicsMS.org to register.
Who did that flyer for the Cecilia and I were talking about it for the polar plunge? That it was beautiful.
That was actually the marketing department for Special Olympics. They did a great, outstanding job.
Y'all have a long tradition of working with Special Olympics.
We do. It goes back well over 20 years, probably well over 30 years now. But for the last almost 20 years now, we've been actually directly involved in planning the entire route and run for the event, which happens the summer games happens at Keesler in May every year.
Mm-hmm. And the law enforcement torch run, a parade is nothing for these people because they do the law enforcement torch run. Give people an idea of that route.
We start up in South Haven, generally the Monday before the summer games, and we come all the way down through the state. Normally it's three different routes. Meet down here at Keesler that Friday.
And William, the remarkable thing about it is it always arrives on time for the Special Olympics.
Yeah, we'll keep doing what we can for the athletes of the state and ensure that they have every opportunity to make the gold.
I was an MC for years out there, and man, that is fantastic to see that many athletes from across the state with their families and the camaraderie that is built up not only between law enforcement but between the people at Keesler and those athletes, because they kind of shadow them the entire weekend, don't they?
Oh, they do. And Keesler does an outstanding job. If it wasn't for them, it wouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for the police department, too, and all of your neighboring agencies across the state. Cecilia, is that it?
That's it. Just like I said, as always, you can see us on Facebook and on our website at biloxi.ms.us for all the information.
Click over to the police department, our city Facebook page right now, and you can see how you can make your reservations for the Mitch Roberts Red Beans and Rice Luncheon that's going to be Friday over at the West End Hose Company number 3, the Biloxi Fire Museum. And William, you can sign up for this Polar Plunge.
That'd be good. I'll wear a rubber suit with the kind of hat, and it'd be interesting. You've been listening to City Desk, folks. News and views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.